No, I'm over at Jack Lanahan.
Oh, well, I hope I'm not good.
Oh, no, no.
Can you talk freely?
Yes, sir.
Bill told me that Scotty thought that we shouldn't have handled the thing like we did last night, and he told you that at the lunch. What else did he tell you?
Well, he said that he felt that the decision, he's for Humphrey.
Yeah, I understand that.
But he felt that that by doing it this way, that it was transparent, that you were trying to eliminate Bobby, and that
Well, do you think it'd be better to eliminate him some other way?
Well, I was just reporting what his
Yeah, but I mean, does he think is a better way to eliminate him? You've got to think of your alternatives, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I told Bill that he did not seem terribly upset about it. He just made that
comment. No, he never does get upset. But if he... Did you ask him the alternatives? How else we eliminate him?
No, I said that I felt that it was a... It was a good purpose, and I also said that I thought that it, well, what I thought it said was that I thought that there was evidence of a building activity that made it necessary to move.
Yeah.
But it was a passing comment. When we sat down after lunch, Bill just raised a question, and I said that he said that he didn't like it, but it didn't mean it to be a strong evidence at all.
No.
Because generally, as I told you, I've had very good reactions.
I think the thing he didn't understand was this, and that everybody must understand, that for a good many weeks now, I've been talking to all these people. Adlai Stevenson has been coming down, visiting with me on other matters, but having Jim Rowe come tell me he wanted to be vice president. And then going out and clubs being organized and for Stevenson for vice president in New Jersey and California and so on and so forth. Russ comes to me and says he wants to go to a big homecoming that they're putting on for him in Atlanta. And that they really, everybody wants him to run for vice president. And you'd be surprised at the sentiment that's growing up for him. Bill White came in and told me that Russ ought to be the man. And Bill's an ultra-conservative fellow, but he just says he's a man that everybody has great admiration for. And they've given him big homecomings, and he's going to launch a campaign opening. Then he gets on television Sunday, and all of them go into it there and won't know about the vice presidency and his running. I guess 10 men told me the other day that the businessmen and McNamara ought to be vice president, and five others said that's why I had the meeting, so he could appeal to businessmen to get him vice president. All questioning McNamara's thing. All of them on the hill are just knocking my block off, just ruining me, going to defeat my poverty program, because they think Shriver is going to hand out this money, going to have $1 billion. We're now in an election. Dirksen told me tonight that's what the purpose was. Give Shriver $1 billion to make him the vice president. He's from Chicago. Now nobody knows that. All that's coming in there and hitting me and just knocking my jock off every hour. Bobby's got people sending out stickers and buttons and calling up. He went out to see Daley the other day and tried to get Daley to go for him. And he went up to New York and tried to get them to go for him. All that shoving along. And in addition, I got 50 state leaders, the delegation. We talked 37 of them yesterday, and they're talking, and who is he for, and the president, we're for whoever the president. Every one of the delegation said, we're for whoever the president's for. But we're not saying. And here's Stevenson got his little group out here, and here's Rusk, and here's McNamara, and then Freeman goes to Kansas. And I tell him, were you in the cabin meeting when I told him to quit not attack personally?
Yes, I was.
And you heard him want to attack, and then you heard me cut him off? And he went out and attacked anyway. And I started checking, and I found out he's got the biggest ambition of any of them to run for vice president. So he's going over Iowa and Ohio and moving into Kansas. And he's got an organization, Rural Americans, and he wants to get going there. Now, what in the world are you going to do? Do you just knock one of them off? I told Bobby he can announce you don't want to run, and I'll take the others later. But no, he didn't want to announce anything. So I couldn't wait. He started leaking it to everybody. So the only thing I could do was to say that I'm not going to have all of my cabinet let the government come to a standstill while they're out running for vice president. I don't need a vice president, but I do need a secretary of state and secretary of defense. And I'm not going to take secretary of state and make a vice president out of him anymore. I'm going to make a secretary of labor out of him. Now, that's the kind of theory we ought to give them, and I don't know of any finer, better way to call them all in and talk to them as I did. Let them hear it from my lips and say, now, I like your cabinet, and that's not a second-rate position in this country. It's only 10 men out of 190 million.
Right.
And when the hell did you get the idea that the vice president's going to be more than that? Who thought I was going to die so quick? All of you laughing about it 6 months ago and saying, 10 months ago, saying, what happened to Lyndon Johnson and John Adams said so-and-so and so-and-so. But now every one of you don't want to be Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or Attorney General or anything. And here we got the problems of the age that Bobby got us into. And he's got them in Harlem, and he's got them in Rochester, and he's got them in Jackson, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, Mississippi, and he's got them in Memphis, he's got them in California, and he's got them in Georgia. And hell, that's what we ought to be doing instead of running around trying to drum up pressures to put on a poor president to be vice president. So I just decided to put a stop to it. Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, I Max Askley, when I called him late last night and read him the your statement, he said, tell the president for me that I will sleep better tonight. And I share his sentiments. I think that it was a decisive act. I think it, from my point of view, it eliminated someone who was going to manipulate and cause trouble and who was going to try to force a showdown.
Well, what I think it did, and I think the line we ought to take, is it eliminated the underground that was going around that everybody in the cabinet had quit work and were running for vice president.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we had to put an end to that.
Sure.
We couldn't have Freeman out in Iowa and out in Kansas and out every place challenging Goldwater and organizing and Freeman for vice president. We couldn't have Bobby doing this. We couldn't have him suspecting everything McNamara does when he attends for a business meeting. We couldn't have him suspecting everything that... is that somebody on that phone upstairs?
Hey, I think they... I took the phone that there was... Oh, they hung up a phone. No, it's nobody there.
That Shriver is going to be handling the $1 billion slush fund. So I tried to answer those things. And I think we did. They say, well, this is a convenient way of dumping Bobby. But we want to dump the whole outfit and get him back to work.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Good night.
That's the, you got my memo, didn't you?
No.
I sent you a memo saying tonight I thought maybe you had gotten it. Because I was saying I'd gotten some queries and I was sorry that I hadn't gotten in on your background this morning, so I would have heard what your position was. This does it for me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it. I hadn't seen that. But I can't call my people and tell them when news is coming in. Why don't you have contact somewhere around here where you can get informed?
I called Jack and called George and said, by golly, I want to know when this happens. All right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.